ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड एवरीथिंग इज दि ब्रह्मन रिवील्ड इन दि उपनिषद्स। मे आई नॉट डिनाई ब्रह्मन मे नॉट ब्रह्मन डिनाई मी लेट देर बी नो स्पर्निंग ऑफ मी बाय ब्रह्मन लेट देर बी नो रिजेक्शन ऑफ ब्रह्मन बाय मी। मे ऑल दि वर्च्यूज दट आर स्पोकन ऑफ इन दि उपनिषद्स रिपोज इन मी हु एम एंगेज्ड in the pursuit of the self, may they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
So we are studying the 12th section of the 8th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad. This is a dialogue between mainly Prajapati and Indra. Prajapati wanted to teach about the real self in this fourth stage of Indra's journey towards the realization of Brahman. First stage, I am not the, neither the Vishwa nor Virat. Second stage, I am neither the Taijasa nor the Hiranyagarbha. Third stage, I am neither the Prajna nor Ishvara. And that which is enlivening all these three states, yet far goes beyond limitations of all these three states, without which consciousness these three states cannot even exist. And that state is what is called ashariri, incorporeal. Corporeal means sharira. Here sharira means, we should not misunderstand as the only the physical body, all the three bodies, the gross, the subtle, as well as the causal. I am the sustainer, I am the creator, I am the sustainer, I am the dissoluter of all these three states, yet without me they cannot be, but I can be without them. So I am without a body. What is the problem if one has a body? Or rather, what is the problem if one thinks I am nothing but the body, whichever of the bodies, gross, subtle or causal, it doesn't matter. What is the problem? They are all limited. Even the deep sleep is limited. It is limited by time, limited by experience, limited by awareness. That is to say, I am not aware. I am the Supta Purusha. At least in the waking state, we say we are in the waking state. In the dream state also, we don't say we are the in the dream state. We say that is our waking state. Only upon waking, we have this distinction. This is waking, and that which I had gone through earlier is a dream state. But in the deep sleep state, complete emergence of the body-mind. Therefore, even to think, I am in the Sushupti, I, the limited body, that will not be possible. It cannot be experienced. Therefore, it is limited, and the result is bondage. Bondage means limitation. Mithya means limitation. Unreal means limitation. Limitation means change. So this is what the, in this 12th section, which we have seen earlier, Prajapati was teaching step by step. And in this 4th stage, he wants to talk about this incorporeal, ashariri, sharira rahita, deha rahita, what was Prajapati teaching? Because earlier, if you remember, when Indra returned for the third time, and then, why did you return? He was asked by Prajapati. He narrates, I don't see any good, because this is also limited, as if I never existed at all. It is like death, or even worse than death. And then, after another 6 years, or 5 years, Prajapati says, this is the final teaching, you are absolutely right. What does Prajapati mean by you are right? Means you are neither the waker, nor the dreamer, nor the sleeper. You are somebody else. And what is that somebody else? Something that is called Turiyam, that is called Atma, that is called Brahman. But first, Prajapati wants to say, if anybody is attached to the body, whichever body, whichever of these three bodies, gross, subtle, or causal, and they are all mortals. Mortal means changing, and it is also associated with painfulness. How can Sushupti be painful? If that doubt at all, if it comes, it should come by deep thinking. Suppose a person is very tired, and he just goes into deep sleep, and he forgets his tiredness, his pain, his worries, and at that time, for whatever reason, if he had to be awakened suddenly, and then it takes time for him to realize, I have been suddenly interrupted in my state of deep sleep, and it is very painful. My body, mind have not yet got that rest. So long as we are in the deep sleep state, that's fine. But if it is interrupted, then problem will come. And many times, we are interrupted only. So this is what Prajapati wants to reaffirm along with Indra's own experience. Oh Indra, this body is mortal. Remember, body means all the three bodies, always held by death. Death means they are going to come to an end. The death of waking is called dream. The death of dream is called deep sleep. The death of deep sleep is called the waking up. Prajapati continues. But it is this very body, it is the abode of the self, which is immortal and incorporeal. And this embodied self is the victim of pleasure and pain. So long as one is identified with the body, there is no cessation of pleasure and pain. But now he comes, if one somehow realizes, I am not a shariri, neither the waker, nor dreamer, nor sleeper, then neither pleasure nor pain touches one who is not identified with the body. And what is this state? Why do we question what is this state? This very question presupposes, if a person is in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he doesn't say, now I am free from all pains and pleasures, I am not related, I am not attached to anybody, but it applies to a Jivan Mukta. So this is the state of Jivan Mukta. And what is Jivan Mukti? Liberation while still the body and mind are functioning. Don't say while living. The Jivan Mukta is living. Again, we will fall into the same trap that he knows I am the body and mind. No, for us, he is living. For him, there is absolutely no identity with the body and mind. That is why Sri Ramakrishna used to say this, rarely used to say I. And when Sri Ramakrishna says I, we have to understand what he means by that I. When we say I, that is completely different. When Sri Ramakrishna, our Holy Mother, says I am I, they mean totally different. So this is the core teaching of this 12th section, that the true Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam Brahma is incorporeal, ashariri. So Prajapati wants to illustrate, which brings us to the mantra too. He gives examples for the ease of understanding. So he says, you see, when the rainy season comes, four things are there we experience. We experience wind, we experience the cloud, experience the lightning, and we experience the thunder. And Prajapati says, all these are ashariraani etani. So, beginning with vayuhu ashariraha. The air is bodiless. Abhram means white cloud. That is also bodiless. Vidyut means lightning. That is also bodiless. Stanayitnuhu means thunder. That is also bodiless. But where from they have come? They must be somewhere. Whatever we experience, it cannot simply appear. Even magic cannot appear. Without the magician, no magic can be there. And not only the magician, he also requires peculiar shirt, peculiar hat, peculiar staff. Everything is needed. Then only he can transform. So, if you see something, it is not the first time it is appearing. It was somewhere, at some other point, but now it became manifest. That's what Bhagavan Krishna wants to tell, that all of us, we are coming only avyaktadini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhananyeva tatra ka paridevana. So Arjuna, before you were born, nobody knew about you. That is called avyakta, means unmanifest. And you were born, everybody can experience you, to some extent at least. And then there will come a time, and that is called death. Then you give up this body, and then you go back from where you came. So this was the example. Through these four concrete examples, he wants to prove that which comes from avyakta or unmanifest cannot have any form. Whatever has form, name, utility, that is vyakta, manifest. But anything that is manifest must come from avyakta. Another example, or umpteen numbers quoted example, there cannot be any pot without clay, mud, because clay doesn't have any form. That which is capable of producing any form must be formless. Very interesting. Suppose you look out, huge maidan, open space. What do you call it? Maidan, open space. What do you mean by that? You mean you don't call it a house, you don't call it a factory, you don't call by any name because it doesn't have any form. So then even if you put four poles and cover it, thatched roof, thatched walls, etc., immediately, oh, that is a house. Immediately you say it is meant to. It may be a storehouse, maybe a living house, maybe a factory, but before there was nothing and therefore open. Now it's closed, enclosed. Like that, we have come from the unmanifest without name, form, utility, and in between for a very short time we are manifest. And to make this point easily understandable by people like us, Prajapati gives these four examples. When the rainy season comes, all these four appear. The question now is, where from they are coming? Because they just appear and then they disappear. In summer season, rarely you see, excepting a few clouds. But come rainy season, you will see everything. So, the lightning, where was this lightning? It must be. Because whatever is existing, even the avyakta must be existing, it must be there. So, where were they existing? They are all existing in the form of the sun, the very embodiment of light and heat. So only in particular season, because of the atmospheric climate changes, they appear suddenly, and even rain also. That is a beautiful example, rain also. Where from it has come, nobody knows. And then it makes oceans. Again, the circle, Brahma Chakra, continues. So the wind is without body, the cloud is without body, the lightning is without body, and the thunder is also without body. Now, as these, rising from yonder Akasha and reaching the highest light, shine in their own forms. What happens? After some time, whatever comes, goes. Whatever is born, dies. Whatever appears, disappears. Now, as these, rising from yonder Akasha. Akasha means what? We don't see. Akasha means space. Space here represents especially the sun. We have to understand the sun. Why? Because it is the sun only which is manifesting as the wind. Without sun, there is no wind. Without the sun, there are no clouds. Without the sun, there is no lightning. Without the sun, there is no thunder. So there must be a sun. And here the sun is represented by what is called Akasha or space. Now these rising from yonder Akasha or the Surya Devata. Why do we say Surya Devata? Because all these produce what we call light, heat. Therefore, the source of all this is Surya Devata. Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Apihitam Mukham. That is the idea here. Surya is equated with Hiranyagarbha. Oh, in the form of the sun, because Jyoti Rupa is of the form of pure light. So the core teaching is that the soul is incorporeal. Therefore, we may not see the self, but it is always within us. All this body, all these bodies, including the mind and the Karana Sarira, causal body, all the three bodies, wherefrom they are arisen from that unmanifest eternal reality called Turiyam, and they just manifest for a short time by the power of Maya, and then again they go back. That was what Swami Vivekananda meant. Each soul is potentially divine. And to illustrate this further, so when the winter comes, especially autumn, the sky is clear. There are very few clouds, no strong winds or storms. Only when summer begins, temperature starts rising, and slowly the clouds, the lightning, the thunder, and the strong winds, everything, high wind, everything occurs. So what it means is, only under certain circumstances, we see these right. Similarly, under certain circumstances created by the rainy season is comparable to Mahamaya. Because of this Maya, the bodies appear, all the three bodies, and they are sustained by that, and again they go back. This is the teaching, wonderful teaching. That is the essence of the second mantra. What is the essence? That we are all Turiyam, but because of the mysterious power of Maya, we, as if appearing as with form, with name, and with desire, and with instruments, etc., we came from her, and we are sustained by her, and we go back into her. Shakti is also called Saguna Brahma, that is the Divine Mother. As Sri Ramakrishna says, call it Saguna Brahma, Nirguna Brahma, there is no difference at all. Now we enter into the third mantra, which already we have discussed. So, evam eva esha samprasado asmat sharirat samuthaya param jyotihi upasampadya svena rupena abhinishpadyate sa uttamah purusha. Now Prajapati wants to teach about that Turiyatma. But instead of saying it is Turiyatma, he is calling here uttama purushaha, like 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Bhagavan declares himself, I am Purushottama because I am Uttama Purusha. So, when a person understands, I am not the waker, not the dreamer, not the sleeper. There is only one choice. I am my own self. I am Turiyam. Even this word Turiyam is only as contrasted with these three states of experience. Evam, eva, esha. So, evam, thus, eshaha means this struggling, potentially divine soul having crossed, like Indra, understood through tapasya, through brahmacharya, under the able guidance of a teacher, like Indra, he will progress. What is the progress? I am not neither the Vishwa, nor the Taijasa, nor the Pragna, neither the Virat, nor the Hiranyagarbha, nor the Ishvara. When he reaches that state, that is called Turiyavastha. It is not a state, it is the state of being, reality. And then what happens? Just as a person in deep sleep absolutely enjoys tremendous indescribable peace, that is called samprasadaha, absolutely serene. Bhagavad Gita describes this so beautifully. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasya upajayate prasanna chetaso hi ashu buddhi paryavatishtate. So completely divide. Prasada means what? That state of serenity is called prasada. And if we have faith in God, somebody gives us that prasada, at least temporarily, we should be able to experience that serenity, at least for a short time. So, this is called the state of a realized soul, and that is being described what happens when a person goes beyond the identity, freed himself from these three states of identification. He is called Mukta, and then he is called Evam Vai Eva Eshaha. Eshaha means this struggling soul. Now no more struggling. He is a realized soul. Samprasadaha. He attained to that permanent state of serenity, peace, ananda. What happens? Asmat sarirat samuthaya. So what happens? Only when a person realizes I am the Turiya, really speaking, our liberation from the even the slightest attachment to any of these three bodies can happen. Of course, we go on practicing. I am not the physical body. I am not the mind. I am not the causal body. That helps. But the permanent state is reached. That state of realization seals any further identification with these three bodies. This is what is asmat sharirat samuthaya. Having been completely detached from a sharira, as I said, all the three bodies, param jyotihi upasampadya. And that uttama purusha is also called here paranjyoti, that supreme light, light of the lights, jyotira jyoti, upasampadya. Having become one with that jyoti, sampadya, upasampadya means approaching. It means becoming one with that Paranjyoti. How do we know? Svena Rupena. He knows now. This is my real nature. Abhinishpadyate. Then he shines forth. And that is called Uttama Purushaha. So, this is the state of realization. Description. Beautiful description of the state of realization. But what is the result? What happens? And again, we have to say, this is a description of Jivan Mukta, because we have to distinguish when a person merges in so-called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he doesn't, there is no description. Ito vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. From where the mind failing to fathom that supreme state of realization falls back. The mind cannot even imagine that state. Whatever the mind can imagine can be only within the realm of limitations of time, space and object. But this is beyond description. Even Sri Ramakrishna one day promised, I will describe now crystal clearly, but he failed. He failed because who is going to describe and to whom is he going to describe? It is possible only when we have got at least that state that I am Atman, I know it, but you are also Atman. There is still a sense of duality. That is called Brahma Akara Vritti. So, we presume this person, for whatever reason, he becomes a Jivan Mukta. Or, another interpretation is, this person, this description of this person, is for people like us, that what do I get for that purpose? To encourage them, to advertise them. If you use this God realization, then you will, these are the benefits. So, what happens? What result comes? Hala, because we are utilitarians. Satatra pariyeti jakshat kredan ramamanaha sribirva yanairva gnatibirva na upajanam smaran idam shariram sayatha prayogya acharane yuktaha evam eva ayam asmini sharire prano yuktaha. There are three parts in this third mantra. Sa means this Jivan Mukta Mahapurusha, as if Jivan Mukta, that is that state of indescribable bliss is going to be described so that we can grasp what the teacher wants to say. This is what Prajapati is trying his level best. Saha, this person who experienced that I am that Turiyam, or Brahman, or Atman, Tatra means in that state, if he becomes a Jivan Mukta, and he may not become Jivan Mukta, but this description is to goad us, to inspire us, to motivate us. What does happen? Pariyeti. So this serene being, what happens in that state? He moves about. Pariyeti means as if he is moving here and there. Moving here means certain activities. Why? Because we know what is the state of activity. And interestingly, even the state of deep sleep is an activity. Waking state is an activity. Dream state, because it is a state. Every state is only an activity. So even deep sleep is an activity. Pariyati means as if he is moving here, like a child of a wealthy person. Huge mansion, any number of toys. But there is a deeper meaning, very simple to understand. What does he do? Jakshan. Jakshan means eating. Delicious things, whenever he wants, whatever he wants, however much he wants. Because in heaven, there is no digestive problems. So everything, and it doesn't create any diabetic problem. So any number of sweets you can eat, and the moment you eat, they're completely digested. But I'm trying to tell you that actually, devaha, what is called, they just by drishti bhogena, just by look, and they derive as if they are getting all the essence, all the happiness. They don't need to eat, they don't need to digest, and sometimes they digest indigestion, they have to suffer, and sometimes they cannot take it out. All these problems will not be there. He enjoys everything without actually experiencing them like we do. Yakshat means eating. Why is this given? Because the greatest sense organ which binds us again and again is this rasanendriya, power of taste, power of eating. Even if somebody is told, after a few minutes you are going to eat, says, okay, I am hungry. Now what do you want to eat? So you give me some choice. So your very favorite sweet you want, some savory you want. So even then, he has to think, what gives me the greatest pleasure? So that's why we are slaves to especially two sense organs. They dominate. One is the act of sexual act of union. Second is eating. Among these two, the Chakravarti, the emperor, is eating. So, eating. Then kridan, playing. because he has to digest what he has eaten. Pramamanaha, completely happy like a baby under the watchful eyes of parents and grandparents, goes on roaming here and there. He wants to show everything what he can do. Sthribhirva. So this is the sexual appetite. So if somebody loves opposite sex, so we have to say a man loves the woman, woman loves the man, whatever it is, and their bodies have met, or it may be platonic love also, doesn't matter. But this is the greatest pleasure every living creature gets. This is the trick of the nature, prakriti or maya, to make us work hard. So there was a great author, he has written what is called about this, that why are we, because this act of union is a great exercise, it is a tiresome act. So, I think it was Dawkinson. So why do the selfish gene, that is the name of the book. So, the Mahamaya says to man especially, you go and have union with this opposite sex. The man says, why should I do it? What do I get? What wages will you give me? Then she is forced to say, this man will not do what I want him to do unless I give him. I will give you the greatest pleasure. Okay, that is my wage. So he is enthusiastically jumps into it. So this is not a simple act of union. It brings terrible change. Whole life we are chained and we have to work like donkeys to these children. I am not discouraging, but how much you just be realistic. So this is all the temptations of the sense organs. Or somebody wants to travel in a private jet, private act, whatever it is. Or some people love society, company. Gnati bihi. Gnati means relatives. Here it means friends, close relatives, not every relative. But there are some relatives who needs to be killed en masse. But those who give us happiness, who wish our well, at least we think they wish our welfare. So such people. So all these sense organs we want to enjoy. And this person, he will be enjoying it. What do you mean by that? So Jivan Mukta is going to get married? No. You know how he enjoys? He says, for that, the next sentence is very important. Na upajanam smaran idam shariram. Idam shariram, this body. Smaran, remembering. Remembering this body, using this body, and making it eat, play, roam about, ride vehicles, etc., etc. No. Upajanam means that which is born because of the sexual union. That is called upajanam. And then this body is born. And then he remembers, oh, I used to like this one. So once I tasted that sweet, that taste still is lingering on my tongue. I would like to have it once more. No. He doesn't remember it. Who doesn't remember? Only a realized Jivan Mukta. For all others, you don't know, I don't know what you feel. Simple experiment. Supposing we love each other and I hold your hand or I am rubbing your hand. So, you know my touch, what type of experience is produced by my touch. Only you know. I have no idea. Similarly, what I feel by touching your body, I will never know. So we don't know. We know only what we feel. Every one of us know what every one of us feel. And therefore, it is wrong to presume, because I am happy, you are also happy. Maybe you are thinking of murdering me. I don't know. So, what does this mean? A Jivan Mukta doesn't remember the body. Then, how is he going to eat? How is he going to have this union with the opposite sex? How is he going to play? How is he going on roaming about happily? How is he going to ride vehicles? So, these few words, upajanam na idam shariram, upajanam idam shariram smaran, remembering this body, which is the result of sexual union, not remembering this body. That means he doesn't have body identity. That is why he is called ashariri, means. Remember, Janaka Maharaja was called Videha Mukta. Videha means, Deha means body, Videha means he, though he had a body from our point of view, he doesn't remember I have a body. But this is to understand, a realized soul, a person who knows I am Brahman, for him, every body is his body, every sense organ is his sense organ, every object is himself. So he is the eater, he is the eaten, he is the enjoyer, he is the enjoyed. What does it mean? So if somebody is eating, he feels, I am eating. Remember, sometimes our grandparents become very old and they become probably pure Vedanti without any danta, and they can't enjoy, especially certain hard things they cannot enjoy, excepting semi-liquids perhaps. But when they see their grandchildren happily roaming around and with these grandparents overriding their children's restrictions, they go on secretly giving chocolates and eclairs and sweets and everything that they want. And when these children are enjoying thoroughly, they feel we are enjoying. This is just an example. Every mother, when the children are eating, enjoying, she knows I am enjoying. If there is some sweet, very less quantity, but she gives everything to the children, but she gets the happiness of all of them, greater happiness, even what they get. That is what we have to understand. Every Jivan Mukta identifies with everybody. So that is what we see. And I have quoted that Sri Ramakrishna was requested, you pray to the mother so that you can eat a little, some little food can enter into your stomach. Then he because of their force, he requested, and then mother showed, are you not eating through all these mouths? It was not Sri Krishna eating with all those mouths. And you have to understand that way. When the Durvasa Rishi came, then they demanded food, coming at untimely. Atithi demanded, and they were hefty fellows. They can eat probably 20 kg each of them, like Bhimasena. Then there was no option, only God can save. Krishna came, took one small grain and said, I am satisfied. Swallowed it, said, I am satisfied. He belched also. And he became identified with everybody. If Durvasa was eating, he would be feeling, I am eating. But he is in such an identity, if he is eating, he feels that others are also eating. So it can be reverse way also. A doubt may come. How could this 6.5 feet sturdy man be satisfied with one grain? Again, we have to exercise our imagination. Krishna, not as a 6.5 feet man, but a small insect like a mosquito. And for a mosquito, even one small grain, for an ant, one small grain, rice, boiled rice grain, is more than full stomach. Why do you think that Krishna cannot assume that form? That's what he said. So what is meant? Anybody who is eating, as if Jivan Mukta is eating. Anybody who is playing, Jivan Mukta is playing. Anybody who is roaming happily, Jivan Mukta is roaming. And anybody, any man and woman are having union, as if Jivan Mukta is having. Anybody is riding first class plane, presidential plane, and who is riding Jivan Mukta, because he cannot separate himself. He has become a whole universe. So he is riding. And where can the relatives go? Anybody is anybody who receives his friends and relatives with the greatest joy, this Jivan Mukta is identifying with them and enjoying their thing. And this is possible only when we forget our body. So Jivan Mukta doesn't say, I am this particular body, everybody is me. That is what is so beautifully expressed in what is called Narayana Suktam, Purusha Suktam, many other suktas, Sahasra Sirsha, Purushaha, Sahasraksha, Sahasrapath, Sabhumim Vishvato Ritva, Atyatishtad Dashangulam. And then, what about this body then? That's what in this third mantra Prajapati wants to explain. Sayatha Prayogya Acharane Yuktaha, Evam Eva Ayam Asmin Sharire Prano Yuktaha. So for all of us, or even for a Jivan Mukta, that body is there. So when Bhagavan created this body, it is jada, inert. Only existential part is there. But chit and ananda parts are lacking. So says that inert body, inert mind cannot function. So it requires something to function. What is the first thing? Pranaha. Prana means energy. So Bhagavan entered into each of these instruments, bodies and minds in the form of prana. Where from the prana has come? This prana is nothing but Hiranyagarbha Sutratma himself, Ishvara himself. So that is why wherever there is a prana, there must be consciousness. What is called that reflected consciousness, Chidabhasa. So that Chidabhasa, that produces, that enlivens the function of the prana. Prana enlivens the mind. Prana enlivens the body. Prana enlivens everything. So even this Jivan Mukta, if we are talking about Jivan Mukta, he has a body, even though he doesn't say he is the body, but we say he has a body. And there is, so long as there is a prana, he is called a Jivan Mukta. So to illustrate that one, just like Acharane Yuktaha. So suppose there is a chariot, a small vehicle, and Prayogya means either a bullock or a horse, and it is tied. Then that jatka or that rickshaw, cycle rickshaw, somebody has to pedal it. So this, what is called ratha, this body is called a chariot or any vehicle. There must be either petrol, or a horse, or a bullock, or a human being, something or the other. You remember in Africa, when they were laying these railway lines, railway inspectors, these foreign Europeans, they used to write, and so many of these, what is called the black people, were employed to pull this on those railings. So somebody has to pull that. This is to illustrate that unless prana is there, the mind will not function, body will not function, no activity is ever possible. For that, just as a small cart, unless it is yoked to a horse or to a bullock or a donkey or a camel or a buffalo, whatever it is, in Rajasthan they use camels, etc. So whatever it is, Yatha Prayogi Acharane Yukta, unless they are yoked, these cards will not move. Our bodies and minds are comparable to those cards. And this cart is able to function only because of prana. And wherever there is prana, there is Chaitanya, consciousness. And where there is consciousness, that alone makes us to think, because the function of the mind is to think, to cogitate, to remember, to come to a decision, and then only activity is possible. Then only it goads the physical body. You have to do this or not to do that, etc. So, even though the body is there, the Jivan Mukta never remembers the body. But we, ignorant people, mistakenly think that the Jivan Mukta is also aware like us, identified with the body. No, that body has nothing to do with him. On the contrary, he is not tied to one particular body. He is tied to every single object in this world. He is the subject, he is the object, he is both. That is the meaning of this, the result, this third mantra, that a Jivanmukta enjoys everybody's enjoyment, his is his enjoyment. So, because he is identified with everybody, he is identified with everybody's aham, body, mind, and some illustrations also will help us to understand them properly, which we will do in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohurmuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.